Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. We're looking forward to our broadcast and your dialogue and discussion. Your input as we have the dialogue and discussion each day is welcome, invited, and we delight in having your participation. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can have that dialogue and discussion with you. Let me remind you once again, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's called the Bible. And as we face the issues, we look at the truth book. That's from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation is the truth book. It's the Bible. In fact, Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31-32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then Jesus himself made the statement of John 14:6, "I am truth." And then further, he tells us a little more about what truth is. He says in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, if you are looking for truth, look no further than the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, the Bible. It is the truth book. It was George Orwell many years ago that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And you can just look to Washington and recognize that very succinctly, especially when people will say that Antifa and the Black Lives Matter and the thuggery that's taking place is just a myth, as Jerry Nadler says. Jerry Nadler says it's not real. That is, don't believe your lying eyes, as you would put it in the vernacular today. But ladies and gentlemen, for Christians in particular, we need to recognize and understand that truth is the source book, the Bible. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer that said in these words, he was Jan Hus, said, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And I've made that my life's mantra, if you will. I believe that there's nothing greater that can be accomplished in the life of a Christian, regardless of the status and the stage and the position in life, than to seek the truth and to listen to the truth and learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and stand for the truth, defending it, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, that's my recommendation today to you. Someone asked on one occasion, "Are you a Calvinist or an Arminianist?" I said, "Neither. I'm a central biblicist. I just believe what the Word of God says. I believe if it says it, that settles it. Whether we understand it, whether we believe it or accept it or not, it's settled in heaven that the Word of God is the final authority." Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Tam. Tools for Tam is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Tam carries the equipment for homeowners with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Tam also carries a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. They also have a full team of knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, that can answer all of your questions about landscape, power equipment, and about hurricane backup equipment. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the base of the gigantic flagpole that's flying the U.S. flag 24/7. That flag is flying at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Find the Old Glory U.S. flag flying high above the skies. And at the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject that I believe is very simplistic, but we need to understand it. Stand up, speak up, America. And you ask the question, how do we stand up and speak up? It's by casting our ballot during the election. The primary is taking place now with early voting, the final day of voting, and the primary is the 18th of this month. We're going to be talking about that in our introductory monologue remarks, and then we're going to introduce a very special guest that's running for an office that I believe we all need to listen up and pay attention to and be ready to vote. Ladies and gentlemen across America, today we're witnessing what I believe is the greatest threat, hear me, the greatest threat to our liberties and to our freedoms in our nation's history. Let me just give you quickly three things in this brief monologue that I believe that sets the stage for where we're going with our interview today. First of all, we see the violence, the vandalism, the looting, the arson in the cities across America with the Black Lives Matter and the national terrorism group of Marxist terrorists that's taking place today. The sad thing is we're watching the political leaders in those cities that seem to think that somehow, some way it is okay. I have an article here that's surprising, unsettling, but real. The title of it is Black Lives Matter Protesters Stormed the Seattle Police Chief's Neighborhood Surrounding Her Home. Seattle Police Chief Carmen Best has been the rare voice of reason in a city that seems to believe that maintaining the rule of law is a privileged concept. She pointed out before multiple murders occurred that allowing no cops in the neighborhoods, the Chaz Zone and the Chop Zone, to persist may not be the wisest idea at all. And she was exactly right. But here's the article. She called a proposal to cut the police budget in half, particularly crime as crime ticks upward in the Pacific Northwest, a rash and reckless decision. So naturally, protesters targeted her home. Listen, roughly 200 individuals carrying Black Lives Matter signs descended Saturday evening on the police chief's home in North Seattle. And they weren't just demanding Best resign or anything like that. On what the Linwood Times described as the road of small, quiet, and quaint residential community, demonstrators decided it was time to intimidate Best and her resident friends. And no, that's not just a conservative engaging hyperbole, trying to cast aspersion on peaceful protesters. Peaceful protesters don't insist on yelling profanities at the police chief's neighbors, et cetera, et cetera. Nor do they write down the license plates, license plate numbers of vehicles in the neighborhood, or take pictures of the homes, or ask the kids in the neighborhood what school they attend. According to the firsthand witnesses, that's exactly what Black Lives Matter demonstrators are doing in the police chief's home and neighborhood. The crowd described by the Times as mostly white men and women in their 20s who were dressed in black masks and black hoods and were shouting profanities and intimidating the neighbors as well as the police chief. Quote, "We think it will happen again," the neighbors added. Their objective was not completed. They never made it to her house. We just stopped them. So we think they'll be back. Protesters, meanwhile, claimed that the neighbors who formed a perimeter to protect the police chief's home were the aggressive ones. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, if it weren't so sad, it'd be funny. But we see that taking place across our nation today. And at least there's a black police chief that is willing to take a stand and say something, that she's been warning others in the neighborhood and in the community, but they're not listening because in her community, in her city, they're wanting to defund the police. And then we see Antifa, ladies and gentlemen, and their terrorist acts to overthrow our constitutional republic with the silence or complete complicity from the mayors and the governors in their socialist, Marxist, BLM, democratic cities and states across our nation. Thousands of our nation's churches today, ladies and gentlemen, still remain closed. In fact, I find it frightening that the mayor of Chicago still is trying to flex her muscles and mainly pointing at the churches, the Christians. And ladies and gentlemen, it's not just in Chicago, but here's the article. It says, Chicago mayor mounts police raid on churches' Sunday services. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot on Sunday launched a police raid on predominantly black churches for holding services in defiance of her coronavirus shutdown orders. Lightfoot allegedly dispatched three marked squad cars and two unmarked police vehicles full of officers to Chicago Cornerstone Baptist Church in Southside's Woodland neighborhood. Cornerstone pastor Courtney Lewis was in the middle of his sermon when he heard loud banging on the church's front door. After discovering it was the police, he instructed the men of the church to keep the doors locked and keep the officers outside. Do not let them come in. Lewis said he felt as if he were confronted by the Soviet-style KGB as they continued banging on the doors and demanding the church shut down. Quote, we're trying to follow, this is what the pastor said, we're trying to follow the laws of man as much as reasonably possible, but when the laws of man conflict with the laws of God, I, as pastor, have a duty to follow the laws of God, Lewis wrote in the letter. He will not be intimidated, we will not be intimidated by this overhanded government bully, but we will be requesting the assistance of our president and our Justice Department in correcting this grave miscarriage of the law. Lightfoot recently fined three churches $500 for holding church services in person and dispatched police patrol vehicles to block the entry to the church's parking lots. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to point out in a brief scenario and a brief overview and a thumbnail sketch is simply the fact that it seems that everything has come loose as far as what we would call law and order, what we would call the rule of law, what we would call the Bill of Rights in our nation today, and we're watching it, ladies and gentlemen, before our eyes. The people must stand up, we must speak up, we must say enough is enough, and you might ask the question, how do we do that? We do that by making our voices heard at the ballot boxes across America in this election cycle. And let me just tuck in, ladies and gentlemen, the election that's going to be election of the century, I believe, is the one held November the 3rd, where there is a grave attempt across America by the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist-minded Democrats that wants to try to tear down and destroy the reelection campaign of President Donald J. Trump. Even Twitter, Facebook, blocking the president's Twitters and his Facebook account completely taken offline. As of this morning's news on Fox News, about 6:30 this morning. The ballot box, ladies and gentlemen, is where we exercise our right to vote. And this vote this year, ladies and gentlemen, on the local level, the state level, the national level, I believe is imperative for every one of us. Remember, back in 2016, 31 million Christians sat at home, sat on their hands, hid under the bed or in the closets, and did not vote. We must not make this same mistake this election cycle, ladies and gentlemen. It's an impossibility for us to expect God to continue to bless America if we do not exercise our right to vote and do so. Every Christian, every conservative must recognize that we have a Bill of Rights and we need to protect it now, or it could be too late very soon. Ladies and gentlemen, one pastor that's renowned in America, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, Dr. Robert Jeffries, and I'm so thankful for his open stand on issues relating to the political front today. So many pastors are petrified to stand in their pulpits and to speak out against the leftist and the mob rule that's taking place in our nation. We need to take a stand. Dr. Jeffries says, Christians who vote for Biden have sold their souls to Satan. Let me just read you the two paragraphs. During an appearance on the Fox Business News with Lou Dobbs, megachurch pastor and White House faith advisor Robert Jeffries had some condemnatory words for any of his fellow evangelicals who may be thinking of voting for Joe Biden in 2020. In sum, they're headed for hell, he said. So, first of all, according to Dr. Jeffries, there's no chance of Biden's garnering a significant portion of the evangelical vote. The only evangelicals who are going to vote for Joe Biden are those who have sold their souls to the devil and accepted the Democratic barbaric position on abortion, Dr. Jeffers said. I mean, it's so barbaric, Joe Biden believes in unrestricted abortion. He can't even get his own church, the Catholic Church, to stomach it. They have denied him communion because of that, end quote. I'm thankful for men like Dr. Jeffers that will take a stand, especially when he has a microphone across the nation that's well heard and a voice that's well respected. And we need to thank the Lord that he is saying that and taking those stands. Ladies and gentlemen, the national lockdown of businesses, the national lockdown that continues, especially in the Northeast and the on the West Coast, where churches are still locked down, the continued hype by the media today and the socialist activists that are the right hand for the Democratic Party, the attempts to have our presidential election via mail-in ballot. We'll talk about that with our guest today in just a few moments. There's nothing wrong with an absentee ballot being cast. There's a whole lot wrong when millions of ballots are just sent to willy-nilly across America by the post office and expect them to have any integrity in their voting. And we'll talk about that further. But ladies and gentlemen, there's an attempt today, as I said earlier, to simply destroy the rule of law and to destroy our constitutional Bill of Rights. And to do so, they're trying to hijack the election and destroy the re-election of President Donald Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, very quickly, let me say this. 8 months ago, I would never have believed we would be in the condition that we're in today. I would never believe that Bibles and the flags would be burned in the streets of a city in the United States of America. Yet it's happening. Portland, Oregon protesters burned Bibles, American flag, outside of the federal courthouse building. Radical activists in Portland, Oregon have burned Bibles and the American flag in front of the federal courthouse building this weekend. Twitter users Ian Miles shared a video of the demonstrators desecrating Bibles and symbols of the American flag. And in a later thread, he wrote, "I don't know what burning the Bible has to do with protesting against police brutality. Do not be under the illusion that these protesters and rioters are anything but an attempt to dismantle all of Western civilization and upend centuries of tradition and freedom of religion," end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind one of the major tenets of Marxism is to dethrone God. And you dethrone God by destroying the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we see attempted in our society today. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we must stand against that, and we must do so by the ballot box. That is our, if you please, return salvo against those that are trying to destroy liberty in America. One other brief article. Police in major U.S. city warns public. Listen, I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, this just staggers my mind to read these words. Here's a police chief in a major police department. This warning, it's in Minneapolis, warning the citizens, if there's a thug trying to rob you, give him your money. Don't argue. Give him your cell phone. Turn over everything, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This article reads, police chief in major U.S. city warns public, be prepared to be robbed. Obey the criminals. Amid a crime wave since the death of George Floyd, the Minneapolis Police Department has informed residents in emails that they should prepare to be robbed and to simply obey the criminals. Quote, be prepared to give up your cell phone, give up your purse, give up your wallet, and do whatever they say, the advisory stated in the news media. In Minneapolis, reported the police department has reported a 46% increase in carjackings and 36% increase in robberies compared to the same time last year. The message to the residents warned that some victims have been maced, dragged, assaulted, some threatened with guns. Even a 99-year-old woman, Elaine Johnson, was assaulted in her own home by intruders that told her to comply with the demand. She resisted, and they beat her half to death, shoved her into the bathroom closet, stealing her iPad and $40. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what's taking place. I am kind of in a laughing state of what Rush Limbaugh said. He said on his nationally syndicated radio show, Rush Limbaugh said, As just a guy on the radio, an alternative to the MPBD's advice to residents, I would advise residents of Minneapolis to exercise your rights under the Second Amendment. And he goes further with that Second Amendment right and what the citizens ought to do, ladies and gentlemen. So the point that I'm making is we need to recognize the condition of our nation. We need to recognize there is hope, and the hope that we have as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots in America is to take a stand and to do so at the ballot box. So how should we respond? Vote. That is how we should respond. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to have political candidates for those offices that's open today for election that's going to stand for truth, those who will honor God, those who will defend our liberties and our freedoms. And ladies and gentlemen, we have such a candidate with us today. That candidate is none other than Ginger South. Ginger is running for the office of Republican State Committeewoman for the Duval County, representing us in the state of Florida. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have Ginger with us on Let's Face the Issues. Ginger, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. Thank you so much for the privilege to be with you today, and thank you for the monologue. And I would say this to that. it's a sad state of affairs that we are in, but a large part of the reason we are in this state is because we as Christians have for more than 50 years not taken our stand in the culture. We have not been the light and salt that we're to be. And it is my passion and has been for many years that we get Christians registered, informed, and out to vote. And that is our challenge.
Amen. I agree with you completely. I am saddened anytime I see a Christian that wants to bellyache, as I call it, if I can use that term, about the political condition, the state of our nation. And yet you ask so many of them, did you vote? Have you voted? No, I've given up on that. I've talked with several recently that said, well, I just quit voting years ago. I found that it was hopeless, and so I just quit voting. That is a dilemma that I find so often that I'm in as I communicate with people. And we need to have people that are running for office that can advocate for that and to push that issue, that we need to vote. Ginger, would you take a moment for our listeners, some that have not met you, and let me say to our listeners very pointedly, we need to listen to what Ginger is saying today. We need to pay close attention to the words and statements that are made, and we need to vote. And I don't mind telling you, and I have not been shy about it for the past 55 years, to say who we need to vote for and how we need to vote. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to vote for Ginger Sowd. We need her to represent us, and she's going to tell us why. But the position that you're running for, Ginger, for Republican State Committee Woman, some may not have heard that term. Some may not be cognizant of what that connotes. Would you take just a moment in our interview today, first of all, to tell our listeners about this position, what it's for, and what it accomplishes, and why it's so vital?
Yes, sir. I'll be happy to do that. The Republican Party of Florida, from each county, has three people on their executive committee. That is, each county, Duval being one of them, have three people who serve on the Republican Party of Florida's executive committee. Those three people are, number one, the Republican Executive Committee of Duval County chairman or chairwoman, as the case may be. That person is elected by the local Republican Executive Committee, the chairman is. There are two other people who serve at the state level representing Duval County. One is a committee man who is elected by registered Republicans throughout Duval County, and the committee woman is likewise elected by registered Republicans throughout the county. Those three people represent at the state party level the 220,000 registered Republicans in Duval County. So these three people from Duval and from each of the counties have the opportunity to influence the direction the Republican Party of Florida will go. And you may ask me, why is that important?
Yes, that was my next question.
Read my mind. It is important because there is going to be, and even currently now, is great pressure upon the Republican Party to scamper to the left, head to the left, which seems everybody's going that way. Everybody is not going that way, but sometimes that impression is there. And we see that reflected in the actions and decisions of elected Republicans. The party has got to prevail upon elected Republicans to support the Republican platform.
Yes.
And the Republican platform is very clear. It is pro-life from conception to natural death. It is pro-family, pro-traditional family, pro-parental rights, and on and on. But our elected officials so often are not supporting these issues in their policy votes and statements. So we need to have the party be true to its core values, and we need to have the individuals who come to us and ask for our vote and say, yes, I will do this. They get elected, and they do that instead of this. and yes. we don't hold them accountable. And so that is a serious problem. And, you know, there are room for discussions on many issues, but there are some issues that from a Republican's perspective should not be up for grabs. And so my goal in running for this is to work to help ensure that our party stands on its core values at the state level, the local level, and even the national level.
I commend you for that, Ginger. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Ginger Soud. Ginger is running for the Republican State Committee Woman's position representing Duval County. And it is our prayer that God will give victory in this. The primary is the 18th. We're in the early election mode now. You can cast your ballot today. And that's where we stand on the issue. But, Ginger, one of the things that I find so disconcerting, as you just articulated so clearly, we have those that will run on the Republican ticket. In fact, there's several that's running this year in several different positions that just a few years ago were liberal Democrats, and now all of a sudden they're Republicans running on a Republican ticket. But if elected, they'll simply revert back to a Democratic policy and procedure approach. And I am concerned about that, not only in the county level here in Duval County, but on the state level in the state of, for the state of Florida. And without calling a representative's name, he introduced a bill, House Bill 97, that would have prevented the taking down of our monuments and our statues and our historical landmarks. And he's Republican, he's conservative, he is Christian, and yet the Republicans in the House refused to even bring it to committee and let it die last year without even going to committee. Had that been passed, we would not have the consternation today about the dismantling of the historical landmarks in the state of Florida. It would have covered the entire state, not just for the counties. But nevertheless, that is some of the things that you're talking about that we need to determine that as Christians, we're going to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen at the ballot box, especially as Christian conservatives. Ginger, we've got just a minute or two before our top of the hour break, but I need you to articulate your background, and we'll pick up at that point then after the top of the hour news, but articulate your background. You have a very colorful background from then. I use that word correctly from the standpoint of the varied things that you have been able to do and accomplish and how God has used you. I'd like for us to talk about that for a moment, then we'll pick up at that point after our news break.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Youngblood. Two areas that I would speak to, perhaps three. First of all, my public service, having served on the city council for about 9 years, and your listeners can go to coj.net and find my service there and many details about it. If they go to coj.net and look for former council members' bio page. So that can be found there. And in that role, I served as council president from 99 to 2000. Some of the things I did on the council was establish, I recall particularly establishing a new committee that dealt with transportation, because at the time we were having some issues in transportation, and part of that led in working with then Mayor Delaney to create, if you will, to put out to the public the Better Jacksonville plan, because that contributed greatly to the transportation needs. And the other area of my involvement has been in the community. I could talk about both of these at length, but I don't want to take too much time on that. But the community service area includes having taught and served in the same church for several decades in teaching the scripture and ministering to members.
Ginger, we're going to pick up at this point. We'll pick up at this point right after the top of the hour news. Ladies and gentlemen, we're interviewing Ginger Soud today. She's a Republican State Committee Woman candidate. And right after the top of the hour news, hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We take 1 minute break for our top of the hour news. Be right back as we continue Let's Face the Issues.
Mm-hmm. This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.